A reading from 1 Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 15. The people of Israel had asked Samuel for a king, and they got the first king in the form of Saul. And now we come to the point where Saul has been rejected as king by God and by the people, and it's a case of, we want a king, take two. Saul rejected as king and David anointed. And we pick up the story at the very end of chapter 15 at verse 34 and then reading into chapter 16 and the first 13 verses. Listen for God's word. Then Samuel went to Ramah, and King Saul went home to Gibeah. As long as Samuel lived, he never again saw the king, but he grieved over him. The Lord was sorry that he had made Saul king of Israel. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you go on grieving over Saul? I have rejected him as king of Israel. But now, get some olive oil and go to Bethlehem to a man named Jesse, because I have chosen one of his sons to be the king." "How can I do that?" Samuel asked. "If Saul hears about it, he will kill me." The Lord answered, "Take a calf with you and say that you're there to offer a sacrifice to the Lord. Invite Jesse to the sacrifice and I'll tell you what to do. You will anoint as king the man I tell you to." Samuel did what the Lord told him to do and went to Bethlehem, where the city leaders came trembling to meet him and asked, "Is this a peaceful visit, seer?" "Yes," he answered, "I have come to offer a sacrifice to the Lord. Purify yourselves and come with me." He also told Jesse and his sons to purify themselves, and he invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Jesse's son Eliab and said to himself, "This man standing here in the Lord's presence is surely the one he has chosen." But the Lord said to him, "Pay no attention to how tall and handsome he is. I have rejected him because I do not judge as a man judges. Man looks at the outward appearance, but I look at the heart." Then Jesse called his son Abinadab and brought him to Samuel. But Samuel said, "No, the Lord hasn't chosen him either." Jesse then brought Shammah. "No, the Lord hasn't chosen him either." In this way, Jesse brought seven of his sons to Samuel. And Samuel said to him, "No, the Lord hasn't chosen any of these." Then he asked him, "Have you any more sons?" Jesse answered, "They're still the youngest, but he's out taking care of the sheep." "Tell him to come here," Samuel said. "We won't offer the sacrifice until he comes." So Jesse sent for him. He was a handsome, healthy young man, and his eyes sparkled. The Lord said to Samuel, "This is the one. Anoint him." Samuel took the olive oil and anointed David in front of his brothers. Immediately, the Spirit of the Lord took control of David and was with him from that day on. Then Samuel returned to Ramah. And a few words from the New Testament, from Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 4. Reading from verse 26. Jesus went on to say, "The kingdom of God is like this. A man scatters seed in his field. He sleeps at night, is up and about during the day, and all the while the seeds are sprouting and growing. Yet he does not know how it happens. The soil itself makes the plants grow and bear fruit. First the tender stalk appears, then the ear, and finally the ear full of corn. When the corn is ripe, the man starts cutting it with his sickle because harvest time has come. What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Asked Jesus. What parable shall we use to explain it? It is like this. A man takes a mustard seed, the smallest seed in the world, and plants it in the ground. After a while, it grows up and becomes the biggest of all plants. It puts out such large branches that the birds come and make their nests in its shade. Jesus preached his message to the people using many other parables like these. He told them as much as they could understand. He would not speak to them without using parables. But when he was alone with his disciples, he would explain everything to them. The leaders of seven nations in our world are not meeting in Cornwall today. And I say that because I'm not thinking of the seven nations that you maybe thought I was going to mention. I'm thinking of Niger and the Democratic Republic of the Congo, Malawi, Central African Republic, Somalia, South Sudan, and Burundi. Burundi, a small landlocked country scarred by ethnic conflict and civil war, has the unenviable distinction of topping the world's poverty ranking. If there's the opposite of the G7 nations, it's the seven I've just mentioned. In Burundi, it's 12 million citizens, most of them relying on subsistence agriculture, survive on the equivalent of just over a dollar a day. Maybe you could do that for a day or two. But scale it up and think of what life means with £400 a year. Less than 5% of the population there have access to electricity or to clean water. The many problems exacerbated in recent times by the COVID pandemic. And I hope, I pray, that the leaders of the G7 wealthy, rich, influential nations can make some decisions that are about the benefit of all here on planet Earth. Our lectionary reading today conveniently takes us to a time when there were seven handsome, powerful, influential boys that their father considered more highly than the young one who was just out looking after the sheep in the field. And yet it was that youngest, the runt of the pack, the youngest in the family, who was the one that was the perfect fit for God's plan and purpose. The little things matter. The powerless have a place. Our world today, we all know, is blighted by a poverty gap, blighted by so many feelings and actions stirred up by a fear of those who are different, the weak, the vulnerable. Sometimes those that actually are weak and vulnerable, and sometimes those that are perceived in such ways because, well, they're just not as good as we are. Our world today, having to confront the issues, the impact around climate justice, and so often it's the actions of the wealthy and powerful that have the biggest impact on the poorest and the weakest. Our beautiful world, blighted by such inhumanity, such hatred, such misunderstanding. Jesus told a parable of the kingdom of God and likened it to a growing seed, a thing of great beauty and wonder that simply gets on doing its amazing thing while the farmer sleeps and works and rests and plays. The seeds, the trees, the plants, the beauty of creation continues to try to do its amazing, wonderful thing. How sad. How sad that humanity, in its mistaken belief in superiority, has so much to answer for. And at the same time, so much potential for good. Sir David Attenborough, I understand, will address, or perhaps even as we are here, is addressing the G7 leaders, speaking to them from his incredible experience and wisdom on what he believes of the world's needs to address climate justice, to save the beautiful world, the seeds, the trees, the plants, the animals, the wonder. David Attenborough recently said that humanity could be on the verge of destabilizing the entire planet. Jesus went on to speak of little things, a mustard seed, the smallest of things that were known in that time, the tiniest of all seeds. Little things matter, because little things make a difference and they grow into big things and they have an impact. The smallest act of kindness, we know, makes a huge difference. And in the church, we're called not just to think about those little acts, but to do them, to be them. The Church of Scotland recently emerged from a very different General Assembly, having thought about much internal business as we need to get our economic situation balancing. We need some radical rationalisation around buildings and ministry numbers. But that only makes sense, and it's only needed if we're also doing the external things, allowing our faith to have impact in our world and in the lives of others. Climate change was addressed at our assembly, and the church has made a commitment towards zero carbon, or net carbon statistics by 2030. Justice for all, vaccine rollout for all, in our world, believing that none are safe until everyone is safe. When the Israelites were pleading with Samuel, asking for a king, they were addressing that deep need for leadership and an awareness of what sort of kingdom it was that they were a part of and building up together. We want a king. That wasn't part of God's plan, but he told Samuel to give the people a king, but to warn them how difficult their lives would be. Saul proved not to be a good king. And now we have David being anointed as Israel's second king and one of the few who would be a good leader. He had his faults, but it was for Israel a golden age. And did you notice where all this was taking place when Jesse's sons were being considered for kingship? In Bethlehem. And in those days, when someone said, "Go to Bethlehem," Samuel might well have said, "Where is that again?" You see, they didn't have the benefit of years of singing "O Little Town of Bethlehem" every Christmas time. An unknown little hamlet. It wasn't Jerusalem. It wasn't the capital. It wasn't in the big city. It was in Bethlehem. And as I think on Bethlehem this week, I think of some of the stories coming out of Israel-Palestine, stories that echo what we've been thinking about in all that is wrong in our world. John McCulloch is the Church of Scotland minister at St Andrew's, Jerusalem. And I've been following recently some of the things that he has been saying on social media. A couple of days ago, he posted, "Earlier this morning, I visited a centre providing therapy and support for children traumatised by war. The children showed me their pictures and explained to me what they were drawing. Staff told me of families who had dispersed their children to friends and family during recent conflict so that if their home was hit, at least some of the family would survive. It was deeply tragic to see the trauma in the eyes of children and to listen to some of the stories of those who had lost everything. These children have known little except war, fear in their short lives. Unless there is a political solution, the cycles of violence will continue. We're tired of war, someone told me. We just want to live in peace and be free. We don't hate anyone. We must work together for peace." Where do we begin? Where do we begin in Kingairloch or Goward and Keld? Where do we begin to address the immense needs in our world? And maybe when we feel that overwhelm, we remember that little things matter and little things make a huge difference. And maybe we hear a wee prompt to do something, a wee prompt from the God who calls us all to make a difference. In other news today is the story of 13-year-old Georgi Kakava, a secondary school pupil in Springburn. who came to Scotland from Georgia in, well, 10 years ago, at the age of 3. He soon lost his mother. And for the last 10 years, the Home Office have been seeking to deport him to a country that he does not remember. The Church of Scotland, and particularly Brian, the minister at Springburn Parish, and the Church of Scotland as a whole, has been behind the campaigning for the right for this boy to remain in Scotland and be the Scot that he believes himself to be. And today, it has been announced that he has been given the right to remain here in Scotland. Little acts of campaigning make a huge difference. Maybe just for one, but all these little ones come together. The General Assembly reminded or urged congregations once again to consider being eco-congregations, to consider our own carbon footprint individually and as congregations. Tonight at 7 o'clock, live on Facebook, you can engage in a live presentation from Eco Congregations speaking about church orchards, the opportunity to create a green space, perhaps around a church or a piece of community land. Little things that we might consider. Little things make a difference. And one of the little and important things that we can do is to pray. To pray that God will hear us and hear our prayers and concerns. And to take time to pause and to reflect upon and listen to our own concerns for our world, our nation, our communities, our families, ourselves. As we pray today, let's pray for the leaders of nations. For Boris Johnson, our own leader here in the UK. We pray for leaders in the United States, in Canada, Japan, France, Germany, and Italy. And let's pray too for leaders and those seeking to influence for good in places like Burundi, South Sudan, Somalia, the Central African Republic, Malawi, the Democratic Republic of the Congo, Niger, and the 183 other nations of the world who are neither among the richest 7 nor the poorest 7. Let's bring to God our prayers. Gracious God, loving God of all creation, we gather in worship, we gather one with another, and we ask for your continued sustenance of this church, this community, the communities we represent, the body of Christ, of which we are a part, that we might continue to serve you, each other, and the mission and ministry to which each has been called in our own unique way. We pray for the strength to see and to plan, to invigorate and to change, to cast off where needed, and to cherish where warranted. As we face continued problems in our communities, our society, our country, and our world. We ask for your love and peace to take root in our hearts and in the hearts of all, friends and foes. To give us the patience to see the good in humanity. We seek for wisdom to be given to those who seek to lead us here and beyond, that in this time of change, they may work for the good of all people and not for the love of power. As we bear witness to the pain of this world, we ask for your guiding, healing hand. We pray for all who look out at a world of rejection, fear, loss, poverty, and illness. We pray for all those marginalized because of who they are. We pray for all those who are judged or stigmatized. And we ask for the boldness to cause hope in a world sorely needing it. Our prayers, our lives, we offer to you, our God. Amen. With our prayers, we bring the thoughts of all that we offer, our wealth, our time, our talents. We offer them all as signs of our continuing commitment to your church, your mission, your people, and our hope that we will work always to live lives which are pleasing to you. And hear us as we bring all our praying together, as we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.